Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We've come to Saturday night. We're going to be covering message number 5 in the evening session. So if you like to click, 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 right now is a good time. It's on page 85. Now, in my previous appearings, a lot of times it was related to testing. And I have told some people that the testing is not over. And I'm learning to be a man of my word. So, as you enjoy this message tonight, be aware that some of you will be tested. It'll be easy, and it'll be very enjoyable, hopefully for all of us. Okay, so we've been covering in this evening session matters related to the Lord's coming, right? And we've seen the promise of His coming. We've seen the signs of His coming, His statuses at His coming, and these are all on the Lord's side. But then on our side, we need to be ready. Right, this afternoon for the test, were you all ready? I know some weren't. Now, were you not ready because there was no warning? Was there an awareness that there was going to be a test? The Lord is going to come. We don't even know when. We had a test this afternoon. We knew exactly when. So, what is our excuse? Now, there will be a, there's a judgment seat going on right now. Your tests are being graded, and the scores are being tallied, and there will be some rewards. Nothing nearly as good as we can get from the Lord, but there will be some rewards. And it may be that some of you might be weeping and gnashing your teeth. Maybe just a little bit, right? You mean, He did it? I'm the one that helped him memorize. I had a classmate in college, and I would help her with a lot of things. And she got her grade. She got straight A's. I got straight B's. I was wondering, what is wrong with this? I'm helping her. Well, she studied. I didn't. So we need to be ready. And last night we saw on the side of life, right, we are virgins. Right, we're waiting for our dear bridegroom. But we need to be ready. We need to be watchful and we need to be ready. And the way we're ready is we need to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. We need to buy the oil. Amen. I believe this week we've all bought some oil.
Amen.
But I don't know that we're all full of oil. Probably not. We still got some room. So we can buy more today. And you know what? Tomorrow, oil will be on sale again. And come Monday, again. And for the rest of July, oil will be on sale.
Amen.
And then August. Oh, wait, yeah. What are we, month are we in? We're in, yeah. We have a timeless quality to this training. You know, until the Lord comes, oil is there for sale. And do you, are you all clear? Are you all aware that we need to have our vessels filled with oil?
Amen.
Because one day we'll go to meet the Lord. Whether He comes while we're still alive or whether we die. Anyway, one day there'll be a call. The Lord's coming. The bridegroom's here. Go forth to meet Him.
Amen.
Well, I want to get into the wedding feast.
Amen.
If you're not in the wedding feast, I'm not sure where you are. But it's not great. I went to a wedding feast recently. And this was, you know, this was one of those Chinese, it is a feast. You know, it's big. And funny story about signs and stuff. Anyway, we went to the wrong restaurant. And I can explain the whole thing, but bottom line, we went to the wrong restaurant. We went in and said, we're here for whatever. And they said, well, we can get you a table. And we said, there's supposed to be 100 people here. And they said, no. And turns out it was a different restaurant. Same owners. And they said, oh, you got to go here, and it's a drive. Well, we got there, and we were late. The doors were not locked. We got in. And we got to our table. My whole family was there. And it had just begun. But my son, who was 9 years old, he started kind of crying. And he doesn't cry much. And so it's like, what's wrong? I mean, like, on top of everything else going on today. So I said, let's go out. Because I didn't know what's going on. We had a talk. And he thought we missed it. I mean, at least a good portion of it. He's like, we're an hour late. And I said, we're not an hour late. We're about a half hour late. And it's besides, they just were, I mean, all we've missed is a salad, and you don't want the salad anyway. So it's okay, and we need to rejoice. This is a wedding, and we want everyone to be happy, so don't be crying. And, you know, anyway, it worked. But there was, he thought he missed it. And so that was just a, that was a really nice feast. But, you know, it's 3 hours. This is 1,000 years. Amen. You don't want to be on the outside looking in for that feast. So we need a warning, right? We need to be aware of all these things so that we can't say, I didn't know anything about it. I don't think y'all probably like taking tests. Maybe you're strange and you do. But most people don't. But those tests are there for a reason, right? They help us to study. And you study so you can learn something. You learn something so your college degree means something, so you can get a job. You get a job so you can make money, so you can give it all to the Lord's move. We'll get into that. So, I think, you know, we can read some verses, but I think recitation is much better. So how about consecrated come up here? Come on, just... I have to fulfill my promises. Andrew, you want to come?
He said no more testing.
This has no bearing on your reward. That's already been taken care of. So, have you all read Matthew 24, 45, and 46? Could you recite it together? Or is this like all just vaporized? It starts with who? Then. Okay, go. Amen. Yeah, you. Okay, someone, yeah. Amen. Amen.
Blessed is that slave whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing.
Amen. Let's just stay here. So we have an aspect of life. We're virgins for the Lord. We're loving the Lord. We're waiting for his appearing as our dear bridegroom. But there's another side. We're slaves, right? We're there to serve the Lord. So we need to be watchful and ready. And we need to be faithful in service. And that's what we're going to cover tonight. Now, does anybody have a quarter? Thank you. Okay, you two come here. This is not a trick. Okay, is this a quarter? It is. Okay, what do you see? It's a state, right? What's that one? Well, that's Louisiana, okay? See that?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you see? Ahead of who? Yeah. He's not the father of your country, but anyway. Okay, this anyway. You see ahead, okay? But you see Louisiana, right? So do we agree this is a quarter? But you see different things. So which one's right? Yes. What do you see? Who is it? George Washington. Very good. What do they teach kids these days? Oh, there's a pelican on there. Look at that. That's Louisiana, right? Okay. You all can sit down. Thank you. So, the point is, if you haven't grasped it yet, there's two sides to this. But there's only one quarter. So, we can't separate life from service. Don't try to separate life from service. We could say, well, buying the oil is kind of hard, but I can go clean the meeting hall. Or I can, what can you do? I can work on the database. I mean, these are things that need to be done. I can cook some meals. But don't talk to me about buying the oil. Don't talk to me about enjoying the Lord. Don't talk to me about getting up in the morning. Don't talk to me about anything like that. I just want to serve. Well, what do you have? You'd have a quarter that's not legal tender, right? You'd have one half. The other side would be blank. No one would take it, right? So these two matters, they're not just related. They're not both indispensable, but they're two sides of the same thing. So we need life for our service. And I would even say conversely, we need service to bring us into life. Okay. But we need to be very aware. Most of you are college students, right? You want to graduate. Believe me, you may not realize it now. How you do in college, the grades you get, how you graduate makes a difference. I mean, you want to get a job? Who wants to get a job? Some of you. Anyway, some of you probably need a job. How you do in college makes a difference. So the professors, your instructors are there to help you. And they give you warnings, and they might admonish you. I had when I was a graduate student, I had a boss. And, I mean, honestly, I did not like to see this guy at all because I never knew what I was going to get from him. Sometimes he was pleasant, but if he wasn't pleasant, it was really bad. One time after about my first year, he called me into his office, and he just let me have it and said, he didn't curse or anything, but he didn't need to open the door for me to get out after he was done. I felt that low. But you don't work hard. You're kind of stupid. You don't think straight. All this kind of stuff. So I didn't like to see him. I did not love his appearing. But I was still his student, and so I resolved that this guy would see me working all the time. And eventually, after another year or two, he called me in. And he was having a very bad day and in a bad mood. He just wanted to let me have it. And, I mean, the words were in his mouth, you don't work hard enough. But he couldn't say it. Because every time he'd come in, I was there. I'd come in after the meetings. We'd have a lot of meetings in the evenings. And everyone else would go home. I'd go home too. But I'd stop by after the meeting for like an hour, like 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night, just to kind of get something started. Occasionally, he'd stop in. He'd be walking down the hallway and say, "Oh, Dave, what are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I'm a student here, and I'm in your lab, and I'm trying to do great things." But that was very helpful to me, even though I didn't like it. Nobody likes to get admonished. But better then than at the judgment seat. Right? If we wait till then, that's a final judgment. I wonder if we could read a few verses. They're not on here. Maybe someone could just find it, look it up, and read it to us. Read Matthew 8, chapter 8, verse 12. Anyone, when you get it, just stand up. with a strong spirit. Okay, go.
The sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth.
Thank you. Is that a positive verse? This is talking about the sons of the kingdom. This isn't the unbelievers. This is not the Gentiles. This is, you know, us. Matthew 22, verse 13. Someone. Anyone? Go ahead. This is the one that came in to the wedding feast. Didn't have the proper garment. Cast out. Outer darkness. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Matthew 25, verse 30. That one you should already have memorized. We can recite it together. So these three verses talk about some ones that you might consider to be positive being cast into outer darkness. So this is a serious warning. You know, the Bible, the Lord Jesus, God loves us. Does God love you?
Yes.
Is He wonderful?
Amen.
Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
There's definitely this aspect. Has He taken care of you? Did He die for you?
Yes.
All these things, so many positive things. But we have to see and be very clear that it's not just, oh, everything's great. God just loves me. There will be no judgment. There will be a judgment. There will be a judgment on the unbelievers, and there will be a judgment on the believers. This is very clear in the Bible. You know, What was the Lord's word to the virgins, the five foolish ones? What's that?
Truly, I do not know you.
He said the same thing in Matthew chapter 7. Do you know this story? Some of you might be familiar with this. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. So these are believers, right? When you went out in the gospel, it seemed like everyone's talking to Muslims, Hindus, and atheists. And a couple agnostics, right? Trying to get to, we want them to say, Lord,
amen.
Right? When you say, Lord Jesus, that means He's your Lord. So who would say, Lord, Lord, except believers, right? We're talking all about believers here. These are not false believers. They're not the tares. Five virgins are foolish. Five are wise. These are believers. Unbelievers don't want to marry the Lord Jesus. They're not waiting for the bridegroom's return. They haven't been betrothed to Him. They're not filled with the Spirit. The slaves, we've been purchased by the Lord. We've been redeemed. We belong to Him. We serve Him. He gives us His possessions. This doesn't happen to unbelievers. But anyway, in that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, in Your name, we, what, prophesied, did works of power, we cast out demons. Sounds pretty good, right? I mean, how many works of power did you do today? How many, you know, prophesying, of course, we've kind of got that one down. Casting out demons? You know, maybe there's some demons among these ones we're preaching the gospel to. They need casting out. So, don't you think these guys are pretty good? I mean, if you met a Christian and just asked for his testimony, and he said, you know, here's the works of power I've done, and here's the demons, I'll give you all the cases of the demons I cast out, and prophesying, would you be impressed? The Lord was not impressed. He said, I never knew you. It's the same word. I never approved any of that. And then he adds in, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So even in doing something for the Lord, you can do something for the Lord, You can do something even miraculous and powerful for the Lord without the Lord's approval. You might wonder how you can do that anyway. The Lord has given us His authority. If I give you my credit card to go buy something specific and you go buy something else, well, I can just say, I never approved that. But I gave you the authority. I gave you the power to do it. So even in our service for the Lord, doing works of power, doing those things, don't be fooled. And don't be fooled by people that do that. The question is this of the Lord? Is the Lord approving this? So we need to be the useful slaves. We want to be the ones that get the positive affirmation, well done. So let's look at the outline. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. So this is the side of service. And I think probably you're familiar with these. Some of the verses you had to memorize. But let me just read this portion. For the kingdom of the heavens is just like a man about to go abroad who called his own slaves and delivered to them his possessions. So he's a man, he's a king. He gave his slaves his possessions. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went abroad. He went away. Immediately, he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained another 5. You know what the key word in this verse is? I like immediately. Similarly, he who had received the 2 gained another 2, but he who had received the 1 went off and dug in the earth and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, we've been waiting for the Lord for a long time. The Lord is coming, has taken over 2,000 years so far. Right? After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. We'll stand before the Lord. We're going to render an account of our service. And he who had received the 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained another 5 talents. He did good. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. This is what you want to hear. This is what you want to hear when you stand before the Lord. And he who had received the 2 talents also came and said, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained another 2 talents. Now listen to what he says to him. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. This is the exact same word as he gave to the one with the 5 talents. He didn't say, you didn't do quite well. Yeah, you had 2, you got 2, big deal. You didn't get 5. Same word, same appraisal, same reward. So you can't say, I didn't get 5 talents. You got 2 talents. The Lord gives him the same reward. Then he who had received the 1 talent also came, and it would have been so good to say, Master, I gained another talent. But he didn't say that. He said, Master, I knew about you. Listen, he knew. What a dummy. Right? He knew. I knew about you. You all know about the Lord? Yeah, okay. So don't be dummies. Okay. That you are a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not winnow. And I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the earth. Behold, you have what is yours. Well, you could say he didn't lose it. Right? And his master answered and said to him, This is really hard. Evil and slothful slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not winnow. Therefore, you should have deposited my money with the money changers. And when I came, I would have recovered what is mine with interest. So then he says, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Everyone who has, more will be given. Verse 30, and cast the useless slave. Not just evil, slothful, useless. Cast the useless slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't want that. Don't you want to escape that? Don't you want, well done, good and faithful slave? You know, the good news is you can get that. This is, if this was impossible, if this was hard, if this was, well, I'm not saying it's easy, but if this was undoable, then God isn't fair. Right? And we know God is completely fair. God is just. God is righteous. We're not. He is. And he said, you were faithful over thousands of things, right? He said, you were faithful over a few things. That doesn't mean, oh, just a few, I can be lazy. But it also doesn't mean you have to be Superman, right? You don't have to be the Apostle Paul. If you are the Apostle Paul, you better be the Apostle Paul. So, the Lord went abroad, you know, when he died and resurrected, ascended to the heavens, came back as a life-giving spirit. But what does it say? It says, he went away, but then he delivered to his slaves his possessions. So, who here is one of his slaves? If you're a believer, you got to raise your hand. Even if you don't feel like a slave, it's like, yeah, you still belong to him. This is my water bottle. It belongs to me. If it ran away, it's unreasonable, right? It would be a useless water bottle. I'd cast it somewhere. But he gave him his possessions. What are the Lord's possessions? You could say everything, but well, aren't we his possessions? Isn't the church his possession? At least that, the church and the believers. So, we're here as the slaves. He went away and he gave us his possessions. He said, do business. Do business means get some increase. Right? But then it says he gave one 5 talents. So he gives his possessions, but then he gives one 5 talents. How many talents you got? Yeah. You think 2? Well, that's pretty good. How many you got? You got maybe 3. Whoa. We got some talented brothers here. Max, how many you got? 1. Okay, you're taking it safe. 1, yeah. Actually, we don't really know. I mean, I hope you have 2 and 3. That'd be great. But anyway, we all get at least 1. And the talent is our spiritual gift. When the Lord holds things, they're his possessions. When he gives them to us, it becomes our talent. Now, how does that work? Well, consider the gospel. Is the gospel the Lord's possession? Right? But I'm going to give you 1 talent of gospel. Right? So what do you do with it? Yeah, what do you do with it? Receive it. And then bury it. No. I'm going to give you 1 talent of gospel. Okay, what are you going to do? Okay, good. How are you going to double it? Preach the gospel. Right? If you preach the gospel, will you increase in the gospel? If you preach the gospel, do you get better? You know, the gospel is the one dose cure-all for all your spiritual ailments. Right? Serious. Who wants to know the Bible better, know the truth better? Okay, go preach the gospel. You know why? You're going to get asked all kinds of questions you don't know the answers to. It's going to drive you to the Word. Then, if you go out and preach the gospel and you don't bear any fruit, is that any fun? That means you're going to have to pray. And maybe you'll have to confess. Maybe you'll have to deal with the Lord. Maybe you'll get more oil that way. Anyway, the gospel just cures everything. Who is it shared, you don't feel good? Just go out and preach the gospel. Serious. It works. You'll be happy. What about, you know, is the truth one of the Lord's possessions? Okay, I'll give you 2 talents of the truth. What are you going to do? Receive it. So, administer. Right? Yeah. We want to use our talent to the full. I mean, you can kind of get into your mind about it. How is the possession, the talent, spiritual gift? Seems physical, and I don't know. Anyway, the point is, the Lord has possessions. We're His possessions. Hey, Amir, come here. Are you one of God's possessions?
I am, yes.
You are? Okay. How about him?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Do you know him?
Yeah, I kind of know him.
Kind of know him, okay. What if he's having a hard time? What do? You pray for him. Okay, that's good. Yeah. What else?
Call him.
Yeah, not bad. What about maybe go visit him?
Yeah,
you know, if you drove clear to Chicago, don't you think that would minister to him?
Oh, yeah. As long as he pays my gas.
No, he's broke.
Oh, he's broke. Okay.
And actually, you're going to have to give him some money. Anyway, your heart will be enlarged, right? Okay, thanks. You can raise your hand. Has anybody in this room ever needed some care? Like this week? Has anyone ever needed to be shepherded? Okay, has anyone ever shepherded you? And then, have you ever shepherded anybody? We all belong to the Lord. You're all the Lord's possessions. So, if you want to increase your talent, you know, you go take care of someone. Your heart will get enlarged. How many of you have ever said, I don't know what to do with this guy? I don't know how to take care of him. Well, you know how you're going to find out how to take care of him? Go take care of him. You'll have to pray, fellowship. I mean, all kinds of things. There are a lot of people in the world that are impossible to take care of. And they are the most needy people. They say, why doesn't anybody take care of me? When in reality, a lot of people are trying to take care of them. We don't know what to do. Anyway, you do it, you get better. So, we need to develop our talent. Okay. Conversely, so we all have a gift. And don't get in your mind thinking, what's my gift? I don't know. I don't know. You got 1 talent, you got 5 talents. I don't know. But I do know that you can bury your talent. And where did he bury it? He buried it in the earth, right? This is the world. So we get involved in the worldly things, and this is 100% our experience. No one can deny this. Okay, we've spoken a lot about getting into the truth, right? And we'll speak more about that. To get into the truth requires some time. It requires some effort. It requires some diligence. But you know what is a lot easier than getting into the truth? Playing video games. You know what's a lot easier than getting into the truth? Going to the movies. You know what's a lot easier than getting into the truth? Hundreds of things, right? And you get into those things, and after a while, No, just check with your experience. You ever had like, I want to read the Bible. I want to read it now, and I just want to get into it, and I want to spend time in it, and I want to do this every day. Right now. And your friend calls. After talking with your friend for a little while, I don't really want to get in the Bible anymore. Your talent is being buried. Right? It's not being lost. It's still there. I mean, the Lord gave it to you. Consider your campus or consider your church. There are churches that have been in existence for decades. But if you go there, you can look around and say, well, you all were here 20 years ago. Where's the new ones? Where's your fruit? Or why isn't there a church in this city and a church in that city? So those ones could say, well, Lord, here's our talent. You gave us a church. We haven't lost anybody. But we didn't gain anybody either. The Lord won't be happy with that, right? So we need to trade with our talent. We need to gain other talents, use our talent to the full. And then this number six under B, it says the best way to use our talent is to take care of others, to become interested in others and concerned for them. Pay attention to that. You know, in all of this, I just want to let you know, none of you are too young. If anyone says, well, I'm too young, that is it's a lie. It's not true. It's from the devil. And it won't stand before the Lord. You can't say, I never knew. Now you know. We have no excuse. And, you know, many of us went out in the gospel the last couple of days. Others have been in the gospel on their campus, tables, doing all kinds of things. Can you do that? Oh, come on. Can you do that?
Yes.
Have you done that?
Yes.
And I know that some, you know, in the past have got led people to the Lord, and even the last couple days they led some people to the Lord. And I think some of them, that was the first time they did it. So can you do it?
Yes.
Or are you too young? Or I don't know the Bible well enough. Right? You can do it. And well, we've been speaking several times this week on the college campuses. The best ones are the college students. And I'll tell you a story I told a couple brothers earlier. So I've been serving on college campuses for a while. And I no longer look like an undergraduate. I don't even look like a graduate student. Sometimes if I come up to a student, they think, you know, they're always very polite. Like maybe I'm faculty or something. Well, anyway, one time there was a student that we contacted somehow, mailed something or something. He responded to us. We got his name, so another brother and I, who's also a full-timer, we said, let's get together. And great, and we got together. We met for about 30 minutes, and our goal at that time was to set up another time to meet and set up something regular. So we set up a time for the next week. We'd get together again, and we went to the appointed place, and he wasn't there. And this happens a lot, so we weren't too bothered. Called him up, and he said, oh, yeah, sorry. Next week, we'll set up another time. Okay, good. Came the next time, and he didn't show. And then we called him back, and he wouldn't even return our calls. So, okay, this guy is... You know, we don't know what happened to him, but anyway, we won't waste our time on him. About a year later, another student had been contacted and was being taken care of. I'd never met him. He's meeting at homes and just really enjoying, and he was enjoying so much, he was inviting his friends to come. And he invited some different ones. And I was getting these reports from the full-timers, and they're talking about this one, and they mentioned, yeah, and he brought his friend Chris. And actually, Chris is doing really good, and Chris this and Chris that. And I said, well, who's Chris? And they told me his last name. I was like, man, that's really a familiar name. I went back to my old contact info. This is the guy that blew us off. And I was like, I got to see this guy again. I mean, I wasn't angry, but it's just like, this is great. He's, you know, we tried and failed. Anyway, a couple of years later, with a group of students, he admitted to me. We're very close. So there's no problem. He said, the reason I stopped or I didn't meet with you or stopped meeting with you is because you're not students. We're a couple old guys. He wanted me with some students. And we wanted the students to get involved, and they were busy, and I don't know what. So your portion is indispensable. It's not just we need bodies and hands. You can do things we really can't do. So don't think I'm not over 40, I can't do much. It's good you're under 20. It's good you're students, because you can do things that we can't do. So don't bury your talent. Your 4 or 5 years of college go by like that. And then you may have some regret. So don't have any regret, right? So the one talented one went off, dug in the dirt, hid his master's money. We covered this. I think this is all very clear. But I want to share some kind of practical things back on the Lord's possessions. You know, we said all the believers are his possession. The church is his possession, right, as the body. And these are things we need to take care of. But the truth is his possession. So we need to get into the truth. And we need to do this regularly, systematically. Can I get, I want a demonstration. And I'll probably embarrass someone. So can I get 3 volunteers? Okay, 1. 2. Someone else. Okay, come on. You know, the other night Marty was sharing about the signs, the Lord's coming, and he talked about the Antichrist. Remember that? Okay. Now we know from the Word and from the interpreted Word, what do we know? Who's the Antichrist going to be? The Antichrist is going to be Jesus?
No, he's not going
to be. Oh, he's not going to be Jesus. Yeah, that's true. We had a little speaking with even a little demonstration the other night.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be Caesar.
He's going to be Caesar. Caesar who?
Well,
huh? The fifth, okay, you go. Fifth Caesar. Into someone. Hey, Leland Baker, come up here. You guys aren't doing too bad. Give us a 30-second synopsis on who Antichrist is.
Antichrist is also referred to the beast that comes out of the sea and is the seventh Caesar that is slain and is then resuscitated with the spirit of the fifth Caesar to become the eighth. That fifth Caesar is the spirit of Caesar Nero that comes up out of the abyss to mingle with the seventh dead Caesar to become the eighth, which is the beast. That's Antichrist.
I'm saving his voice. We could do more. Now, how come he could do that and you couldn't?
He knows the Word.
Yeah. And he spent time in the Word. Okay, thanks, brother. But not just in the Word, in the interpreted Word. Do you all have a reading schedule? You do? Okay, you do now. You got to pick up something that's regular, that's systematic, that's consistent, repetitive. I mean, you're young enough. You know the life study messages? If you read through one message every day, you know how long it would take you to finish? Okay, that's a long time, right? 5 years? How old are you? 21. So that means by the time you're 51, how many times can you read through the entire set of life studies? Six times. Do you think that something would get into you reading through six times? Yes. Anyway. We got the Bible, right? There's all kinds of reading schedules. Read through the Bible with the footnotes. But you got to read through the Bible. You got to get the Word into you. Otherwise, these things are just foreign. When people ask you questions, you say, well, I think it's like this. And someone said something once, like, I'm not sure what it was. I'm not really sure. I don't even know where to find it in the Bible. I asked someone the other day, had a little quiz. Someone, answer this if you know. Which book immediately precedes the book of Hezekiah? Some of you might be looking. Is it Old Testament or New Testament? Right. Hey. Anyway, just even knowing the books of the Bible. We had a college student. This young brother was raised in the church life. And he finally started reading the Bible. And he told me this, he had a revelation, and I didn't laugh because it would have discouraged him. He was reading the Gospel of John. And he said, you know what? I found out why they call it the Gospel of John, because John wrote it. He'd been through the summer schools of truth. Not much constitution. Right? Okay, we can go, I'm not that bad. But how much do we have in us? Are we going to handle the truth? Are we going to be ministers of the truth? Are we going to develop our talent with this possession of the Lord's in the truth? Then we've got the church. And of course, the church isn't a building. It's us. But there's meetings of the church. How many of you go to all the meetings of the church in your locality? And how many of you function in all those meetings of the church? Now, you might have a prophesying meeting, a chance for all of us to speak what we enjoyed. Do you take that opportunity to minister life to the saints? You know, we should be good stewards, right? We receive something, it's given to me for you, right? Tonight, whatever I've got, it isn't for me, it's for you. Right? And we should all be that way. We receive something, we should give it to others to take care of them, to give them food at the appointed time. Feed the Lord's lambs. Shepherd his sheep. In the church meetings, do we speak? There's a meeting, I think, in most churches. I think this has already been talked about, but maybe it's on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night. It's called the prayer meeting of the church. And you know what we do in that meeting? Right.
Amen.
Now, don't raise your hands, but just consider, do we regard that meeting? Do we go to that meeting? Do we develop our prayer life, even our corporate prayer life? Or do we say, well, I'm just a college student. This isn't for me. I'm too young. Or we excuse ourselves. Oh, I'm busy. I got to study. Yeah, sometimes you got to study, but, you know, really honestly, come on. Most of the time, if you got to study, it's because you're goofing off for the 5 days before that. I got a term paper due tomorrow. Yeah, when did you get the assignment? You know, 7 weeks ago. Do we take care of that? These are things we can do. Let me ask you again. Do you want the Lord to say, well done, good and faithful slave?
Amen.
Go to the prayer meeting.
Amen.
Go to the church meetings. You know, taking care of the church. I'll give another one. And this is one that maybe you really think this isn't for me. Do you give financially, like dollars? You know, the Lord moves on the earth. And I don't know if you're aware of all the things that are happening in the Lord's recovery. The gospel is free. Nothing else is. Someone goes, has the heart to go to Europe. Do you know how much that costs? I'm not talking about a plane ticket over there. I'm talking about living over there. I was reading a report. They're building a kind of a meeting place in Kyiv in the Ukraine. Very, very important. Can be very, very useful. They need, I don't remember the amount, hundreds of thousands of dollars. We've been working on this training center, this extension in Boston, right? That costs money. And then sending people. How many of you want to go to the full-time training? Do you know it's not free? It might be free to you because someone else is supporting you. But it costs. Now, where is that money coming from? Maybe you could say, well, it's not coming from me because I'm not giving anything. None of us are excused. I mean, I can say, look, I serve the Lord full time. I mean, I depend on the Lord for my support. I still give. You could say, well, man, I only got $5. Well, what are you doing with that $5? Don't you want to invest it? You know, the Lord said that, you know, we should give for others' salvation, so that one day they'll welcome us into the eternal tabernacles. Now, I don't know, so many of these things, I don't know exactly what it's going to be like, so don't ask me. But I do know that that's something very positive. You know, maybe it's something like, you know, here's Paul, and he's been kind of, you know, some good, some bad. But anyway, he'll go there before the Lord, and maybe the Lord's going to pass a judgment. The door to the outer darkness is open, ready to cast him out. And someone says, wait, is that Paul? Do you know that once he gave $100 to buy some recovery versions in, name a language, Russian? And that money went to Russia. And my grandmother was there and picked one up, and she took it home and didn't like it, but I read it and I got saved, and I love the Lord now. And if he never gave that money, I wouldn't be here now. Don't do anything to him. He got me saved by sending some money. I don't want to make it seem so trivial, but, you know, if we don't give, if we don't build up a habit, a practice of giving, if it's always all about us, you know, what are we giving, you know? You know, in your home meetings, I'm going to upset the apple cart a little bit. I got a home, and I got an open refrigerator. And we love having the students over. But you know what I really like? When they bring something. Not because we need it, or not because, but it shows that they're maturing. It shows that they're thinking about someone other than themselves. You know, when at some point they start doing the dishes. At some point they start cleaning up a little bit. Otherwise it's like, you know, they come through the swarming locusts and food is all gone. Every dish in the house is dirty. You load up the dishwasher and it's like we got to do three loads to try to, you know, run everything through. I mean, it's great. I got a text yesterday about all the people that are going to be in my home while I'm here last night. It was a lot. I was really happy, right? But anyway, You know, we can all participate in this. Don't just be good receivers. God loves a cheerful giver. Actually, the word there is hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. It's not just I'm a little happy. I mean, it's, oh, I'm so happy. I can give something. Find ways you can save money to give it. Starbucks costs $4.50. McDonald's costs a dollar. Any size. Maybe not here. It does in Wisconsin. You can save $3.50. You can say, well, that's only $3.50. How many people are in the room here tonight? Maybe 200? Okay, 200 times $3.50, $700. So if we all cut out one Starbucks coffee during the week, $700, that'll take care of one full-timer in Europe for 2 weeks. And don't think it doesn't matter. There are people perishing all over the world, and you can't go there. You can't go meet everyone's need, but you can pray and you can give. And you all can do it. Don't say, well, it's my parents' money. Well, it's when it's in my pocket. It is my money. Do your parents check with you every dollar you spend? And say, well, they're giving it to me for my living. Just give some of it to the Lord. I don't think your parents will mind. And I don't think you'll miss it. So, the truth, take care of one another, take care of the church meetings, giving, praying, all these things. If we do this, our talent will develop. You know, you look at maybe some older saints that you admire who are very useful. And when you're with them, they always impart life to you and you can fellowship with them and pray with them. They didn't get that way overnight, and they weren't born that way. It takes time. But if we're faithful, if we're diligent in this, then we can be the useful slaves. This isn't, maybe doesn't sound this great. It's not like that. You know, I don't know what. We should sing, Christ has come to be life, right? Joy in my heart and a spring in my step. That's really good. That's half. Right? Christ has come to be life so that I can minister to you. Right? Christ has come to be life so I can preach the gospel to all the nations. Christ has come to be life so I can read the Bible and get life from it. Almost done. So, we've covered most everything. But let's read through Roman numeral 2. You know, we recited those verses earlier. Giving food at the proper time. When is the proper time? Yeah, now. Now is always the proper time. And there are ones that they need feeding. And if you're going to be a useful slave, you'll get a blessing when the Lord comes and he finds you doing what you're supposed to be doing. But we all know he's coming, right? But we may not regard his coming. Instead, it's like, well, he's delaying. I got some time. You may feel that. Like, well, is the Lord coming back tomorrow? I mean, I could make the argument he's not, right? The covenant hasn't been broken. You know, we know all these things. But, so I could say, hey, we still got time. When's the final exam? Well, it's not for 5 weeks, right? When's this? We got a lot of time. Well, eventually, we won't have a lot of time. And eventually, we won't have enough time. And eventually, the Lord will come. And, I mean, he's here right now. What are we doing with our time? This is really a call. if we'll be the faithful slaves, the prudent ones, right, wise. So God's economy is to dispense himself into his chosen people. You ever heard that before? So who does that? God, but we do it. Right? When you go out and preach the gospel, someone gets saved, what happened? God got dispensed into them through your speaking. You lead them to pray. They receive the Lord Jesus, not just as their Savior, but as their life. So we need to be doing that. So we're set as faithful and prudent slaves over his household. We're stewards, we're channels of supply to give his people food at the proper time. And this is ministering the word of God in Christ as life supply to the believers in the church. Now, so if you want to feed something, what do you need to do first? Feed someone. You've got to be prepared. I want to go. Sam, are you hungry? Spiritually hungry? Yeah, okay, good. Thanks for going along with it. So I want to go feed him. What do I have to do? I got to prepare some food. I got to have something, right? If you've been just, you know, this may never have happened to you. You just spend a week in the world, just this, that, and the other thing, just deader than a doornail. And then Andrew Cho calls you up and says, hey, let's go visit someone. I don't know if you've ever done that. And you're just, what do I, you know, what you want, you got to be a good brother. So you say, oh, yeah, let's go do that. That sounds great. I was just thinking about that. But and it's like, grab my Bible quick. Oh, Andrew's going to be here in 6 minutes. Oh, I got to pray read something. You know, you're trying to pull something together. But if we've been enjoying the Lord and we're burdened and Andrew calls, hey, we should go visit brother so-and-so. You're like, oh, that's so good. I'm glad you called. Let's just go. And we're on the way, we're fellowshipping, we're praying, what should we share? And I don't know, we flow out Christ, and the brother gets shepherded and comforted, and then the next week he's in the meeting, and all the needs are met, but we're prepared, right? And it's not for us. So your morning revival, one hand it's for you, another hand it's not for you, right? You're reading the Bible, one hand it's for you, another hand it's not for you. You're praying, it's not all for you, it's for others. So we need to be good stewards of the varied grace of God. The problem with the one talented one wasn't that he only got one talent. The problem was he was passive. He was not active. So we need to be active. And this age produces passivity like you would not believe. You're in it, but you don't necessarily see it. There's not that much activity. I mean, seeking. We want something delivered to us. I want a job. I hope someday someone will offer me one, because if they do, probably I'll take it. Maybe. I'm just waiting by the phone, waiting for them to call. I sent out a couple resumes a month ago. You know, are you improving your skills? Well, how about just do a job? Just get a job. Maybe not your career job. Well, that's not, just passive. Anyway, we should seek the Lord with our one talent. We got at least one talent. Lord, increase my talent. For what can I do? Lord, help me. Give me some companions. Get into the Word together. Preach the gospel together. Go shepherd together. Take the initiative, right? Don't be passive. Go find someone to shepherd. These things, they're not that hard. I don't want to make light of it, to make it like it seem trivial. But they're not that hard. Was it that hard to go preach the gospel yesterday? You had to go out, it's hot. Right? You had to walk some. Maybe you're sweaty. And it took an hour out of your day, out of your week. So there's some cost. But it wasn't that hard. Could you all spare 2 hours a week to go visit people? One brother that I met a number of years ago, I didn't know this at the time, but I was in another locality, and we were out as a group. We were out passing out gospel tracts, and he said, "Let's go have a cup of coffee," which I thought was a good idea because it's really hot. And so we're having a cup of coffee, and he says, "We have to admit that in ourselves, nobody likes the gospel. I mean, nobody wants to go preach the gospel in ourselves, right?" He said, "We have to admit this." And I thought, well, that's pretty easy to admit for me. I found out later this brother was like the top gospel preacher that I'd probably ever met. I mean, he'd led hundreds of people to the Lord. He was a dynamo. And he's telling me that in ourselves, no one really likes the gospel. He said, but the reason he goes out is because he's got an appointment with you. And you're going to be there, so he's going to be there too. So he would make an appointment with someone to go out and preach the gospel. And I thought, wow, if that works for him, why wouldn't it work for me? If you can't do it by yourself, find someone else to go with you. Right? We way back when we were door knocking, back in the mid-80s, and, oh, man, I just did not look forward to that time every week because it's like we had everything backwards and we didn't know what we were doing, and it was just, it was really stressful. And then I found myself asking for more times because I wanted to learn how to do this. But finally, we found one guy. We knocked on his door, and he opens the door, and he says, "How did you guys know to come here?" He says, "I was just watching Billy Graham. I want to get saved." Woo, this is great. You know, suddenly it's all worth it. So we got him saved. We baptized him. And then it's like, let's go back and meet with him. And then back to it again. We did not know what we were doing. We had like a method. Do this, do this, do this. And we'd pray. And eventually he stopped meeting with us. I mean, I'm surprised it took that long because it was really... really awful. One time we invited another brother to come along with us, and he strayed from what we were supposed to do. He like asked him things like, "Hi, how are you doing?" And, you know, kind of took an interest in him, and we're like, "Can we do that? We're just supposed to read this and pray," and very mechanical. Anyway, we learned a lot, but my point is we had time set up every week, and even though maybe I didn't want to do it, some weeks it was great. Other weeks, it was a trial. But since we had the time set, we did it. And I was a graduate student. And if any graduate student wants to argue with me about not having time, I'll argue with you. Because I made every meeting. And I was nothing special. Undergraduates, easier. You've got time. How will you use it? So, anyway, if we say in our heart that our master delays, this is to love the present evil age and not to love the Lord's appearing. So we don't want to be like that. And to beat our fellow slaves is to mistreat fellow believers. We don't want to do that. And so to eat and drink with the drunken is to keep company with worldly people who are drunk with worldly things. We don't want to do that. So we stay away from all those things. We love the Lord's appearing. And then let's read Roman numeral 3 together. You know how many talents we have in this room tonight? At least 200. That's equivalent of 45 talented ones. And it is equivalent. Actually, it's probably better. Do you want to take the whole world? You know, what is going to bring the Lord back? I mean, is the gospel of the kingdom being preached where? The whole inhabited earth. The bride being prepared, right? The body of Christ being built up. This is what's going to bring the Lord back. So who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Can you say, of course we can say we. I'd like to say I will. Who will do it?
I will.
Before the Lord, will you do it?
Amen.
Will you commit yourself, find a way to develop your talent,
Amen.
To get into the truth,
Amen.
To take care of believers,
Amen.
Take care of unbelievers,
Amen.
Preach the gospel,
Amen.
Take care of the church life.
Amen.
Can you do it? With the Lord's grace, you can do it.
Amen.
By life, you can do it.
Amen.
In yourself, you can't do it. This is what we need. Then, you know, when the Lord returns, it'll be like, you may have had this experience, you take a class, you've taken the test, you take the final, and it's like, I don't even need to see my report card. I know I got an A. The Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, right, 2 Timothy 4:8, he recite it. The crown of righteousness with which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day. And not only me, but also all those who have loved his appearing. We can be the all those. We can get the crown of righteousness and we can know we've got it and we'll be loving the Lord's appearing. We won't be fearing the Lord's return. We want him to come back because we love him and we're going to be there to get the reward, to rule and reign with him and enjoy his presence for 1,000 years and then eternity.
Amen.
Does that sound good?
Amen.
Don't worry about outer darkness. Just love the Lord and serve him.